everybody. We are GFBS. We're Grand Forks' best source. And it's a Tuesday, and you know what that means. David Waterman from the Midwest Public Health Coalition in the studio today, along with Cassie Schmidt. She's the founder of Let Parents Decide That. We're going to call this North Dakota Disinformation Show today. Show today brought to you by First Community Credit Union. You know, you've been dreaming about your forever home, well, forever, right? Well, now is the time to make that dream a reality. Now's the time to contact Craig Bensky, mortgage loan officer with First Community Credit Union. Craig can make your home buying dreams come true. With the low interest rates and quality service, First Community Credit Union can help you with all of your home buying needs. You know, rates are still incredibly low. Now might be the perfect time. Make your forever home dream come true. Contact Craig Bensky at First Community Credit Union, 701-757-6805, or email craig.bensky@myfccu.com. First Community Credit Union, equal housing opportunity. Have any questions or comments for David Waterman or Cassie Schmidt or Paul or myself or Katie, our phone number, 701-213-0863. Again, 701-213-0863. And before we get going too far, it is time for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. I have a vaccination joke. But most of you won't get it.
Good.
And then dead silence.
Good.
Okay, let me do some switching there.
This is nothing to joke about.
Okay, but
I like that.
Yeah,
that was very good.
Well, thank you very much. First off, before I tell you my little story, I want to find out a little bit about Cassie Schmidt. Tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would, please.
Yes, absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I am a mother of three, and I was never politically active or involved or anything before last year. When I really felt that my parental rights were in trouble in regards to masking. I did my research and I didn't think that it was safe for my kids to have to wear masks all day long while they were at daycare. And the state basically took that choice away from me, and I was not not happy about it. So myself, my best friend Brooke, my sister Kaylee, we kind of got together and formed a group to get parents together to encourage and support them to be active advocates for their kids, not just to complain about it to, you know, your cousin and your coworker and whatever else, but to actually take some action against what's going on and to get involved when it might not be socially, you know, kind of acceptable. So.
You know, it kind of boils down to, you don't need somebody who's hiding in their basement to tell you how to raise your kids.
Yes, sir.
Because that's what we've been going through for the last year and a half.
Yep. And it's honestly, it's not the government's job to protect your health. It's their job to protect your rights so that you can protect your health as you see fit. So
nailed it right there. Before we get too further, this is too much further. This is what we usually do on Tuesday. I dig up my little bit of information. I want to throw that out there before we let you guys take over. But now the Delta variant cases in North Dakota, they're all talking about it. They jumped 1,900% in North Dakota last week. Now, when you look at the North Dakota vaccination rate, we're just under 40%. That's the lowest, 11th lowest vaccination rate in the United States at 39.7%. They've got, vaccination clinics all over Grand Forks again this week. there's two today, one tomorrow, three on Thursday, one on Sunday. I'm not going to tell you where, though.
Thank you.
There is ways you can find that out. Deaths through July 12th, according to VAERS, 6,079. You know, they change that number like what, once a month, maybe. And by the way, it took me forever to find anything today. It's like they're hiding all of this from us now. Today's VAERS also said 400,000 plus adverse effects from the vaccine. Those are just what we know about. And now I want to tell you about I'll call her the crazy mall lady. I don't know if she's crazy or not, but she does have a business in this place, and she has accosted me not once but twice now. Pounded on our studio door here last week. She was very mad about the Midwest Public Health Coalition's pamphlets that we have hanging in the window, and she didn't think they were true. And I told her, I said, here, I'll give you a couple. You can look at it and see where all this information comes. Of course, she didn't want anything to do with that. Well, then yesterday I'm walking out to my car and I'm in the parking lot and I see her and I say, hey, good morning. She says, I know where you came up with that number. And I had no clue what she was talking about. I'm like, what number? 6,000 deaths from the vaccine. Okay, how did I come up with that number? Well, when you look at the mortality rate of the million people or however many million people have been vaccinated, 6,000 deaths, that equals, that's 1% mortality rate, blah, 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 a little under one. And I said, okay, now if you take the mortality rate of getting COVID without the vaccine, it's under 1% mortality rate. So it's the same thing, right? Well, then she, and I said, so why get the shot? And again, there was a little bit of, then she said, you're playing with fire. And I said, maybe. Have why? A good she, day.
Did she say that because she felt like it just burned her?
No, it wouldn't be a hard thing to burn her, but I think she thinks that I have no clue what I'm talking about and that I'm going to end up getting COVID and I'm going to die or something. But I mean, I'm not putting those words in her mouth. But when she said you're playing with fire or maybe you're playing with fire, I just fine.
So maybe someone, maybe she can explain the 99.9997% survival rate of people that get COVID.
Yeah. And that's what I tried to explain to her. It's basically the same thing as the mortality rate from getting the vaccine. I mean, very close.
No, actually, it's not. I'm sorry to disagree with you on that, John, but the fact is that according to VAERS, they're saying still 6,000. No, the number is over 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
According to the updated VAERS numbers, and I keep up to date with this because I've got really smart people that do the research and then they report back to me, so I don't have to take the time to do it myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm lazy, but I do have other things that I'm trying to do, like, you know, you got to get a couple of naps in every afternoon and anyway. We've got very very trustworthy folks working with and in MPHC. Our members are fantastic, and so we've got folks that run those numbers down, and the latest number is it's over 10,000. But again, that's still less than 10% of the actual number of adverse events or deaths. So you have to multiply by 10 to get the actual number. Mm-hmm. So that would give 10 by 10 is 10,000 times 10. That's 100,000 deaths.
Yep.
That's 100,000 deaths from the vaccine alone. Okay, now let's look at the numbers for deaths by COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We know that only 6% of the actual deaths with COVID are caused by COVID, COVID, from COVID, actually COVID deaths. That's an admission that the CDC made last year. And so they're saying 600,000, 6% of 600,000, that's 36,000. So 36,000 deaths compared to 100,000 deaths, 36,000 deaths from COVID, 100,000 deaths from the shot. Cassie, which one of those numbers is bigger?
You know, I just keep what's in my head all the time when we talk about all these vaccines and these shots and stuff, which I don't even like to call them vaccines.
This is not a vaccine.
But what happened to natural immunity? Mm. We've got 99%+ of people that have survived COVID that now have natural antibodies against it.
Right.
What happened? Wouldn't you rather, if you've got a higher than 99% chance for a healthy person to go ahead and keep living normally, you catch a cold and then you're done, and now you've got antibodies against the next round?
Mm-hmm.
This new variant that they're talking about, never ever in the history of a virus has it ever mutated to become more deadly. So you've got more transmissible, maybe, but not more deadly. So if more people can catch it, but it's weaker,
right,
who cares?
Right. Cares. Right.
And this is a great example, I think, the crazy mall lady, of just repeating what she has heard or what they are telling her without taking the time to look it up on her own.
And that's really super, super common. Like, nobody wants to do the research for themselves. We trust the experts. Whatever the experts say, that's what we believe. And who are the experts? Well, I'm not really hiding in my basement. I'm running the NIAID. And I will tell you, if you can't take the vaccine, you have to still wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dr. Fakey.
Something that kind of maybe missing the big picture here, too, is of all these deaths that you're talking about, these are people that have taken the vaccine and died like pretty soon right after taking it. We're not even talking about the ones that might have something happen 2 years down the road.
No, exactly. That's exactly right. And we have, in fact, I was going to bring the chart. Dan has it. Dan, by the way, Dr. Dan Stanislavski, is on vacation. I hope he's having a great time. I'm sure he's having a great time.
Are you sure he's not at one of these vaccination clinics around town today?
Wouldn't that be interesting? Yeah, he's getting his kids back.
He's in disguise.
Dan is, he's, here's the thing. When you're as well informed as he is, because he's done tremendous, I don't know how many hours he's put in researching the mRNA injection, the gene therapy. I have no doubt that he knows more about that shot than every single medical doctor in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. I think he probably knows more than all of them combined, because they're treating patients. He's studying this vaccine and this technology. Mm-hmm. That's what he does all day long.
Yeah, and his degree is actually better as far as that kind of research goes than a medical doctor's would be. I know that for a fact.
Absolutely right. Molecular biology and biochemistry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he has his degree in. So he knows what he's talking about. Here's another guy that is a really smart guy, Dr. Robert Malone. You know who he is? Have you heard the name Robert Malone?
No.
He actually invented the mRNA vaccine. I mean, he's the one that developed the technology, starting, I think, way back in 1990, to create this vaccine. Here's a quote from him. He was recently on Fox and was interviewed by Tucker Carlson. This is what he said. Certainly, I can say that the risk benefit ratio for those 18 and below doesn't justify vaccines, and there's a pretty good chance that it doesn't justify vaccination in these very young adults. We're left in a position where we're, again, Robert Malone, the inventor of the mRNA vaccine, we're left in a position where we're waiting for data from places like Norway, Finland, Scandinavia, and hopefully from Israel to back up our decisions in public health. Unfortunately, the Israelis that we've been relying on did not pick up these cardiotoxicity risks that we now are learning about. I'll finish the quote. It says, they were first picked up by the FDA people looking at the VAERS database. So he's saying we're left in a position, think about this, the United States of America, arguably the greatest healthcare medical system, or at least technology in the world. I think our system is desperately broken.
Yeah.
But we've got the best technology in the world. He says, we're left in a position where we're waiting for data from places like Norway, Finland, Scandinavia, and Israel in order to back up our decisions. In other words, to justify our decisions in public health.
Why do we need to wait?
That's not supposed to be. It's not done like that, folks. The way that it works is you get the data first. You do the study first, you do the clinical trials first, you do the animal trials first, and then if you decide, hey, it is actually safe and it will be effective, then you begin offering that to the general public. Not before, but everything about COVID, if you think about it, has been done totally reverse to what's been considered normal, standard, healthy, logical, reasonable, and lawful procedure in the past.
All right, question for you, David. If this was tried, if this was tested, if this was done the way the FDA always does a new vaccine or drug, and it met all their standards, which would take a couple of years,
10.
Probably more.
Minimum 10.
Yep. Would you take the vaccine if you knew it had gone through the 10 years of trials and tests and all of that stuff?
Would I personally?
Yeah.
No, I've already had COVID. So it makes no sense for me to
have it. Okay, what if you hadn't had it?
If I hadn't had it, I still wouldn't take it.
Okay.
Because I have it. Because like the guy, I want to get this t-shirt, the guy with the t-shirt that said, my mask is on the inside. It's called an immune system.
Yeah.
Cassie's point. No, we have, God gave us an amazing immune system. And if you exercise and eat decent food and you take supplements like vitamin D3 and vitamin C, your immune system is strong enough to fight that stuff off.
Sure.
Just like it did. And if it's not, we've got ivermectin, budesonide, hydroxychloroquine, and zinc. We've got very, very effective treatments for COVID-19, and they're not being widely disseminated to the doctors, mm-hmm. that information, and they're not being widely used as a result, and people are dying.
And let's also not forget to mention the because this is not also widely known. People think that if they're going to take this shot, then they can't get COVID.
Yeah.
That is not the case. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works.
Right.
It is basically a symptom suppressant.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. They came up with these so that your risk of hospitalization would lower. That does not mean that you can't catch COVID, that you can't transmit it. So if you're doing it to protect others, you're not doing it for the mm-hmm. right reason, because it does not protect others.
At all.
You can still carry it and you can still transmit it.
Exactly. You know, I might be jumping the gun here. Maybe you're going to get into it. But you'd mentioned something about the reports that was even beyond VAERS, but I just caught kind of the tail of that, if you want to talk about that really quick.
Well, and I haven't dug into it, but I did just hear this morning about a lawsuit by an attorney named, now I'm blanking on his name, Thomas Renz. Is that what I said his name was?
Yeah, I believe so.
Thomas Renz, and he filed it in Alabama against the federal government, basically for collusion in covering up COVID vaccine deaths. He has a whistleblower that is asserting there are over 45,000 deaths due to the vaccine, because VAERS is only one out of like 11 sites that adverse events are reported to the federal government, and that they know about these deaths and that they've covered them up and have not let the public in on this information.
You know, even if we just went by the VAERS number, 6,079 as of July 12th, that's still enough to scare me. But what gets me is when you talk about how they say, well, if you get the vaccine, you don't need to wear a mask, blah, blah, blah. This morning, my wife says, you got to watch this. I don't know what news she watches on TV anymore, because they're all such liberal news stations now. But it was a guy he had a strong, like, Brooklyn accent. He's running for something out in New York. But he went to see how they're doing something with the recount, the machines or whatever. So
on the election?
Yeah. So he showed up. And, I mean, this guy's, he looks like he's right out of the mob. But very smart guy. And he shows up and they ask him right away, you know, have you been vaccinated? And he pulls out his vaccination card. And have you been feeling any, you know, adverse anything? Are you feeling okay? Blah, blah, blah. This is, yeah. And he says, okay. So they let him in. He sat down and he said within 5 minutes, he was accosted by people that said, you need to wear a mask. And he said, no, I don't. I already went through the protocol trying to get in here. I've got my vaccination card, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, he's got two police officers that drag him outside. They stand out there for an hour while they tried to come up with these charges. And they ended up charging him with refusal to obey a government official. Okay, now.
Wait, well, I'm sorry, John, I missed that. Where was this happening?
It was in New York. I don't know, Brooklyn, the Bronx, or somewhere.
And where did he go into? What was the event that he went to?
I can't remember the event exactly. I thought it had something to do with voters and the count and recounts or something, but it might not have been from the big election.
Oh, I see.
But for another one. But so they ended up charging him with refusal to comply with a government official. Okay, so what does that mean? Does that mean...
Can they tell you to do anything then?
Exactly.
I mean, where does it stop?
Where do the damn laws come in?
But that was that was New York, right? Like New York City?
Something like that,
so at least it didn't happen in the United States. you know,
And you know, I put a post up, this was probably about a week or so ago, and it was Candace Owens, and she was talking about some stuff. But so Facebook took that post down by Candace Owens, and then they gave me a warning, and they said that because of misinformation, and what you talked about was like the Nuremberg Code and experimental, uh-huh. you know, drugs on people. And so the independent fact checker said the Nuremberg Code specifically addresses experimentation. COVID-19 vaccines aren't experimental and therefore don't violate the code.
Wait, it said they are experimental or
they
are not?
They are not experimental.
Oh, they're not experimental.
That's what their independent fact checker
because
said.
Because their clinical trials are done? Because it's already 2023?
Yeah.
No.
I pulled it up.
We're now time travelers.
Yeah, I pulled up the Google definition and it said emergency use authorization are experimental right there on Google.
So, yeah, but here's the thing, Paul. You can't use logic and reason in order to understand the behavior of these tyrants because they're not using logic, reason, and they're not being honest. Mm-hmm. They're all dishonest, right? They're lying to us. We've got to recognize these people are lying to us. The people that are pulling their strings are very, very evil men. They're very evil, and what we're dealing with is evil. We're not dealing with confusion or misunderstanding or, we're just trying to do the best we can, and we're not really sure how to do it. It's not that. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe the folks underneath them are confused, and they're disoriented, and they're going, but they've been trained to trust the experts. Whatever the experts above us tell us, this hospital administrators have made this decision, and so we have to go along with it because if we want to continue to practice medicine, well, you're not practicing medicine. You're engaging a political activity that's going to harm the very people that you're supposed mm-hmm. to be helping and serving. And the same thing with the politicians. The politicians at the lower levels, they all do the same thing. We got to go, but they've got an incentive because if we go along, we get some of that green stuff to mm-hmm. spend, and we love that. Boy, have you ever met a politician that didn't love to spend other people's money?
Only a few.
Oh, yeah. They're mm-hmm. out there, but they're mm-hmm. very rare. So the majority of the country is being run by those who do want to mm-hmm. spend other people's money.
Do you ever get a song stuck in your head?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, here. And this, it's like a curse. It stained my brain. I cannot get rid of this. Anytime I see Fauci or anytime I see our beloved president talking about COVID, all I hear in my brain is this, and I cannot get it out of my brain. I can't shake it.
That's good. I wish that you could impose that into the brains of every American. But when you said our president, you meant poser Joe Biden?
No, what? Yeah.
He's the poser.
Yeah, that's his
name. He's the poser in chief.
I was looking for this, the guy that I know put a meme up here, and it looks like they're trying to censor this one too and take it down. But it says, remember to get vaccinated, or a vaccinated person might get sick from the virus they got vaccinated against because you're not vaccinated.
And ain't that the truth, though?
Exactly.
Yes.
That's really true. No, there's no logic behind any of this. It's absurd doesn't even describe it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's absurdity upon absurdity. Now, here's the thing that's really good, and I've got more quotes from Robert Malone, but first I would like, because Cassie came all the way from Fargo, and she's doing a great thing up there with Let Parents Decide That, and I think that she should maybe spend some time, because you know what, there are folks in Grand Forks, I'm sure, who don't know about Let Parents Decide That.
Okay, but before we get to you, I just want to answer this one text, or read this text. It's from Gina White. It says, do you know how many times I got the flu shot and still got the flu? Many. Yeah. And now I haven't gotten the flu shot in years. Don't need this crap in my system or my children's system. This is just ridiculous. And that gets us to you, Cassie.
And Gina's exactly right. If I could just make a point, mm-hmm. there's not a study anywhere in the world. I've not been able to find one. Russell Blaylock has been unable to find one. There is no study anywhere in the world that demonstrates efficacy of the flu vaccine. None. Mm-hmm. In other words, they can't prove that it helps at all.
Yeah.
It's a guess. They've got to guess what strain it's going to be next year, and then they make the one mm-hmm. for that strain. It's a total guess. And whether or not it even was the right strain, if it would work, we don't know that either.
Yeah, I used to get the flu shot just to keep my boss's mouth shut. Because we'd get in trouble if we didn't get the flu shot, we'd get in trouble if we got sick. And if we did go get the flu shot, we'd get in trouble because we left work to go get the flu shot. So they finally started bringing the flu shot to the company I worked for at the time, and we could just walk into the office, get the flu shot, but I did it just to keep my boss off my back.
Yeah, and that's unfortunately, and so here's what we've got to change, John. We've got to change that attitude because a lot of people do the exact same thing with this so-called COVID vaccine, this COVID injection, the gene therapy. They're doing it to keep somebody off their back. Mm-hmm. What happens if you do that?
Or in case it gets you know, they're worried. We've seen a lot of this. Oh, well, you know, we got the shot because we like to travel. Well, you don't have to have the shot to travel. There, right. Well, it might get, it's like, what are you doing? You're preemptively, you
giving
know,
up your rights.
Giving up your rights. Just, it's here, take them.
Just in case.
You know, it's just wild. Yeah, it's,
it is. It's insane. It's like, well, I'm not going to say anything publicly because I know I have the freedom to speak under the Constitution, but they might change that.
Yeah. Now, Cassie, you mentioned you have three kids.
I do.
And yep. Their ages?
5, 3, and 1.
Okay, so what are some of the things that you have had to go through with your kids? The 5-year-old now, I'm sure knows what, you know, they might not know what it means, but peer pressure and things like that. But growing up at that age, the 3 and the 5, they're all, I mean, you can, all you have to do is look at the face of a child and see they're like a sponge.
Yeah.
They just soak up everything. And that to me is one of the greatest parts about a kid is just the look on their face as they're exploring and learning and soaking up all this information.
Well, you can see their little minds turning.
Yeah.
You can literally watch it. You know, okay, let's take my 1-year-old for example. Okay. And I'm a parent. I know that you're not supposed to take one kid and compare it to the next kid. But that's a natural thing that you do. You've got 3 kids, you're raising them all the same, you're thinking, okay, well, this kid was walking at 10 months, this kid was walking at 10 months, this kid was walking at 10 months. Okay, mm-hmm. You know, my last child, 1-year-old, when he started off at daycare, his teachers were masked, okay? Mm-hmm. So for 8 hours a day, he is in a facility with people who are talking to him and whatever else, and they've got their face covered.
Mm-hmm.
He is slower when it comes to speech
sure.
than my other kids were.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, it's a sad thing because in the end, you know, when he's an adult, is it going to matter that it took him a couple more months to start talking? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But the tragedy is that was taken away from him. He was not able to watch people's mouths move mm-hmm. and have his brain work. And you can see kids when you're talking to them and they look in your eyes, they look at your lips, they look at your eyes, they look at your lips. I mean, they're trying to figure out how to form right. those sounds that you're making.
Sure.
Kids can't do that when they can't see your face.
Right. And I think, Cassie, that I think it was not just, I don't think the tragedy was that it was taken from him. I think the real tragedy is that it was taken from him needlessly. There was no reason.
For no reason.
No reason mm-hmm. whatsoever. No reason.
And it, you know, to be also fair to my, I love my daycare. We yep. have a fantastic daycare.
And they're stuck and between a rock and a hard place.
It was not their choice. Mm-hmm. It was not their choice because mm-hmm. they did not mask any kids or themselves until they were mandated to. They didn't yep. have that choice anymore. They received state funds. It was our city had a mandate going. The state had a mandate going for that type of business. They really had no choice,
mm-hmm.
and that's disgusting because it's a health decision.
And that is a problem with state and federal funding is that state and federal funding, write this down, folks, state and federal funding equals state and federal control.
Yeah.
So redistributing our money to us through the tax system gives the government control that they should never have over mm-hmm. our lives. Mm-hmm. And we all have to walk away from that and push back and say, sorry, I'm not going to eat at the federal trough anymore. I'm not going to eat at the state trough anymore. I'm not going to do that because I don't want you telling me that I can't live my life as a free individual, mm-hmm. which is exactly what they're doing. And they'll continue to do that. And by the way, for the folks who think that this is mostly over, guess
oh, no.
again.
No. You know, no. I had my hopes up for the last 6 months. At least 6 months. I thought, okay, we'll give this a year. And I thought that was ridiculous when this all started.
And you thought I was nuts.
I did. Well, not nuts, but I thought it was a little far-fetched. But now, I talk to people on the street, and I go, when do you think this is all going to be done? And the majority of the people I talk to now say, I don't think it ever will be. You know, and that scares the hell out of me.
And I'm not sure what that you haven't really had a chance to talk about what you're doing over there in Fargo yet, but... You know, I even put up a post that's gotten a lot of traction saying that, you know, if the schools are going to try to require masks again for the kids this year, I'm going to start a GoFundMe and I'm going to get a facility and we're going to get our own teachers and we're just going to bypass the public school system. And, you know,
it's harder than you think. Yep. It's, you know, there are laws in North Dakota starting. It would be, you know, a private school basically, which comes with all of its own you know, its own issues. When look at Fargo, for instance, the Fargo private schools, they were also receiving federal funds.
Right.
So all of the Fargo private schools, and they're, I mean, they're charging admission, you know, they're charging enrollment or whatever you call it. So they're getting cash from parents, but now they're also taking money from the state and the federal government, and they fell right under all the same guidelines mm-hmm. that the public schools did. There was only one private school in the Fargo-Moorhead area that is not under DPI, Department of Public Instruction. Other than that, they follow all the same curriculum, and they just get to sprinkle in a little Christianity. Mm.
And you know, I haven't followed any education numbers or anything like that in the Fargo area, but I know in Grand Forks, the children's education, graduation rates, all that things, they're all dropping.
Yeah,
they are dropping tremendously. And is it the same way in Fargo? Do you know?
You know, I don't know. When you attend the school board meetings, they really do a great job patting themselves on the back sure. over what they've done
they sure all year do. Long.
And we're not knocking teachers by nope, any
nope,
means.
Nope, definitely not. Because teachers, there's a lot of teachers that are in there. They're doing great work. They're there for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And they are being made to teach things that they may not necessarily think is their place to teach.
I'll knock them.
You know,
that's their job.
That
you
is,
know,
yeah.
You know, I'll knock them all day. They need to right, stand yeah. up for the kids too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, in certain situations, absolutely. But I do think that we've got a ton of great teachers that are really being silenced as
oh,
well.
Oh, sure. Just like doctors.
Yep. Fargo specifically, let's look at Fargo teachers. They sign in their employment contracts that they cannot speak out. They can't speak out against the school system publicly. They can't do it on their social media. They can't do it up at the school board meetings.
Really?
One of the school board meetings that we went to, we had a husband of a teacher come to the meeting, and he can talk because he's the husband.
Oh, sure.
So he went up there and he was sticking up. Oh my gosh, it was great to hear because he was really sticking up for his wife. And he was in there saying, you guys have no idea what's happening in the school systems. And this is a whole other topic, but he's talking about how these kids sometimes can get so out of control, and the teachers, they have nothing that they can do.
Mm-hmm.
They can't take the kid out of the room. They literally, if a kid is throwing a temper tantrum and freaking out in the room, they clear the room for the kid to go ahead and yeah. destroy
what?
Whatever he wants to.
Are you seriously?
Yes, yeah. They will clear the room. They get the other kids into a safe area, and they leave that kid go ahead and do what he needs to do in that room. Instead of removing that kid, they're going to disrupt the 20 other kids around him.
Unbelievable.
You know, times have changed. When I was in high school, granted, I'm old. When I was in high school, I still remember, and to this day, I love this teacher, and he punched me so hard he knocked me out of my desk. But this teacher also hung a guy out the window by his ankles in a third floor schoolroom.
Yeah, he was probably should have been fired.
He was back teaching the next day. There were no clear out the room. This was the way it was back then. I mean, imagine back talking your mom or your dad when you were that age. Back talk my dad, it's going to be a backhand to the side of the face.
Right.
Hit me with a hammer one time. You know, but
I think
maybe,
that's a little
maybe
extreme.
Maybe I turned
I got
out
paint
okay.
on the tongue for sticking my tongue out. That was about the worst we got at our house.
Yeah, I had a teacher that had the best thing. When we had a kid that was acting out of line, he'd fold them like a folding chair, and he'd put them in the garbage can.
Yeah.
So their hands and their legs were
yeah,
stuck
and
up, and they couldn't move
that stuff back.
And they would sit there until they settled
yep,
down.
Now you can hang out.
Yeah, it's still worse than the wrath of dad when you get home if he finds out about it. But I do want to mention this. This is a great point from Rick. If it is now socially acceptable for one gender to identify as the other, why can't I choose to identify as being vaccinated? After all, I have the natural antibodies, which is infinitely better than the vaccine. And what a great point, Rick. Thank you.
That's a great
Rick.
Point. That's a great point. Yeah, Rick's a smart guy. Yeah. And by the way, I identify as Rick.
Okay.
As Rick. So,
yeah. But yeah, I mean, back to what you were saying, though. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Because I got kids that are in school about the same age. And yeah, I mean, they are. They're just complete sponges. And my two-year-old, he was afraid of people that were wearing masks. We'd go to Shields and try to get some boots or something. He'd throw a complete fit. He wouldn't try anything
yeah,
on. It was just because he was.
Too.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I have a question for the parents in the room. I'm identifying as David Waterman.
Okay.
For parents, what are you now? One of the parents is leaving.
He's just grabbing something.
Oh, okay, good. So here's the question. When you have the situation that you described, Cassie, and I really have to, do I look like I'm, you know, relatively calm, cool, and collected on the outside? Good, because I don't feel that way inside. Hearing what you described about a kid throwing a temper tantrum and they clear the room of the kids who are behaving, what is that teaching?
What is that teaching the rest of the kids?
Yeah. What is that teaching them? When you everybody, Billy's having a temper tantrum. We have to go to our safe spaces now.
Yeah, we can't. We don't want to hurt Billy because he might be having a hard time at home and he might be struggling and all this other stuff. Yeah,
so what does that teach the other kids? What does that teach them?
That acting out gets you what you want.
Yeah. And when you act out, the authorities, they bend over backwards to accommodate you.
Yep.
You know, I'm really
sick. Wait a minute. Is that that's teaching respect for authority or disrespect for authority?
Yeah. And I'm so sick and tired of people saying, well, they don't make kids like they used to. And you know, generation this, generation that, whatever, kids aren't like they used to be. And my answer to them is always this. It starts at home.
Exactly.
It always starts at home. Yeah. Don't blame it on the whatever system, the school system, the government, whatever. It still starts at home.
And a lot of times parents are blindsided by stuff that they don't expect, you know, new
or
stuff.
Or that they have no idea about.
Exactly.
That they have no idea. A lot of parents, what we've found, most parents up until this year, especially parents from our group, they had no idea what was going on inside the public schools. Right. You trust your teachers. You trust your school board that you elected into place. You voted for those guys, and you expect them to do a good job taking care of the financial side and, you know, helping to make all of the decisions inside of the school so that you don't have to sit there and babysit. That's what their job is for.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, what has been very clear over the last year is we do have to babysit.
Yeah.
Yes. We have got to keep a sharp eye on these people.
Absolutely.
Because many of them, yes, are doing a wonderful job, but many of them are really pushing different ideologies and other, you know,
false
morals
narratives.
And false narratives and things that are really a parent's job to teach.
Exactly.
They're pushing things into schools that is a parent's job to teach how you want your kids to to see that.
And I agree with Paul that these teachers who are being told, now you're going to teach this, have to say, no, I'm not going to teach that.
Yep.
I'm not going to teach that. And I mean, if I couldn't do what I do, my next choice for a career would be to be a public school teacher because I would love to be able to influence those kids in a positive way, to make them, help them to grow up to become productive members of society, right?
Yeah,
that's the goal. But what they're doing now is they're teaching them to be unproductive members of society. They're teaching them that chaos is good, that disrespecting authority is the way to go, and that's what gets you what you want. That will destroy us. You know what they're teaching in China, by the way? And I can't give you the reference for this because I can't remember where I read this. It was probably the Epic Times.
Karate.
They're teaching manhood to men.
Oh,
while the women's rights movement and all the other communist movements in America.
While we're feminizing men here in America.
Absolutely. Jeez, feminizing men, masculinizing women, and then de-genderizing everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So there's in China, and by the way, communist China is part of the feminizing of the men in America. They're part of that plan. They're teaching their men, how to be masculine, what it means to be a man over in China. And here they're teaching just the opposite. If we don't get our act together really soon, we're done. We are done.
And, you know,
as a country,
some of the most influential people in my lives were teachers as I was growing up. And there's a million of them out there that's what they want to do. They want to teach and they want to educate. They want to be your friend, your mentor, whatever. But when it comes to your boss saying, oh, no, you can't teach that, pretty soon we're going to be out of teachers, too. I mean, it's like right now trying to find youth kids, sports coaches, umpires, referees, things like that. Parents have made it where it's impossible to find this help anymore because parents, well, for one thing, can't keep their mouth shut. But we're running out of umps, referees, coaches. We're going to be running out of teachers here soon, too, because these teachers, if they truly believe that they want to do good for our society for the rest of their career, and now all of a sudden their hands are tied and they can't.
Yeah. Oh, we'll never run out of teachers. We'll only run out of good teachers.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. All the good ones are going to be pushed out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it. Teachers are not rich by any means.
By any means.
That tells you the teachers that have been doing it for their whole career, their whole entire life, they must like it. They must love it. But I'm sure, like some of the teachers I know that were around when I was still, I mean, they're pretty much fading out now, but it was like a whole different branch of things back then. Yeah. It was a whole different deal.
I'm totally with Cassie on this too, because, you know, when the kids are in school, they should be getting taught math, reading, all that kind of stuff. Like
writing.
This critical race theory BS that's coming in there, there's no place for them to be teaching that. There's no place for a teacher to be telling my son that he could be a girl if he wanted to or anything like that. That is not what they're in school for. They're there to learn math. They're
reading,
there to color.
Arithmetic. Yep.
You know, yeah. So what is all this crap going on? I mean, if I heard that going on in a classroom, like if I walked in there and I saw that, I mean, that would be hellfire going on in there.
You know what it's about? You know what the critical race theory is all about? It's called critical race theory. Mm. You know what it really should be called? Let's destroy America.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all it is. There is no, systemic racism does not exist in America. Yeah, come. Somebody challenge me on that. If you think I'm wrong, come and let's have that discussion. I want to know. And by the way, I think that there is.
But
a
now
solution.
I think they're calling it diversity training.
Yeah, they'll change the names in order to accommodate the people that are onto them, but we're onto them. So whatever you call it, you can call it rainbow training. They might do that. But it's the same thing. It's destroy America, white man bad, colored man good. Did I ever mention, I think you mentioned a few months ago, that we're all the same color. Did you know that? Did you know we're all the same color?
On the inside.
On the outside. We're all the same color. I'm a filmmaker, and one of the things that we have to do after we've shot a film is we've got to do color correction or color grading to give it the color that we want. And so what do you think is the most important color to get right in a film? What's the most important color to get right?
I would think black or white.
No. Yeah, I mean, good guess. The skin tone.
Oh, sure.
Skin tone is more important. Boy, right? Yeah. Who cares if the building is the wrong shade of gray or blue or green? What?
Sure.
But skin tone has got to be right. So we use a device called a vectorscope, and the vectorscope has points. When you use it, you feed the video signal into it, and different colors show up as points of light, dots, on the vectorscope itself. Well, the good vectorscopes have a line that's actually etched into the scope itself for skin tone for a Caucasian person. It's like, I think it's here. I'm trying to remember if I'm looking in reverse or not. So let's say that it's here on the vectorscope. You know, for a white person, you know where the proper skin tone is for a black person on the vectorscope? Want to take a guess? So if this is 10 o'clock, where would it be for a black person? It's exactly the same place.
No way.
It's the exact same line.
Wow.
Way. Because the only difference between a black person and a white person's skin tone is the shade. The tone itself doesn't change. The color doesn't change. It's just a darker or a lighter shade of the exact same color. Folks, we're all the same color. Sorry to break it to you if that's a big shock and you hate people of a certain color. We're all the same color. It's just that some people have more of it and other people have less. So I could say that I'm melanin challenged because I have less of it than darker skinned people do. But this whole critical race theory is all about destroying America, American values, and making white children, what we call white children, hate themselves and feel terrible, and it's very destructive.
We need to take a break. David Waterman from the Midwest Public Health Coalition in the studio. Cassie Schmidt, founder of Let Parents Decide That. And before we go into the break, a couple of texts I want to talk about. And one of them is for you, Cassie, and you can answer this after the break. This is from Mary. How has Cassie been able to organize the parents in Fargo? Cindy, says the public school system is forgotten. They are in an academic institution. And Rick, by the way, got back and said, thanks, David. I identify as you. Right now, let's talk about good stuff, like treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods. On a good day, you can smell it right down the hallway where we're at. We're talking about Oh for Heaven's Cakes, best cupcakes and cakes for special occasions or maybe just a little treat. They make incredible items by order or walk-in to find out more. While you're there, if you're hungry, oh, man, enjoy homemade lunch and soup with keto, gluten-free, vegan, and diabetic options. Maybe you're a business owner, want to treat your employees to a little something special. Check out their monthly employee discounts. Oh for Heaven's Cakes on the north backside of the Grand Cities Mall. They're open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, Saturdays 9 to noon. You can call 701-757-CAKE. That is 757-2253. Or go to ohforheavenscakes@yahoo.com. But what it boils down to is be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. Oh for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. Get you to chuckle on that one every time. That's a great catchphrase.
I love that line. I do. I love that line.
And I want to get back to you, Cassie. Mary says, how has Cassie been able to organize the parents in Fargo? Was that tough to do? I know you said you had a little bit of help.
Well, yeah. And to be completely transparent, because that's how I am, we're not completely organized. That's actually what we're working on. We've got an event coming up. We have a picnic. It's called the Let Parents Decide That Picnic at Armour Park. You can check it out on Facebook. It's a public event. It is free. You can come. We're going to have guest speakers there. David's going to be there with his group, Midwest Public Health Coalition. We've got some speakers from North Dakota Conservative Advocates. We've got local homeschool parents that are going to be coming to give some parents that are maybe thinking about going that route some encouragement and some advice.
And when and where?
It is Thursday. So next Thursday, July 29th, 5 to 8 p.m. at Armour Park in West Fargo. So you can Google it. It'll take you right there. We're going to have a free hot dog supper. Bring the kids. They can play and hang out while we get down to business. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that we're working on is organizing. Now, Fargo and West Fargo is easier, obviously, for me to organize because I'm close to that area. But we do have parents from all across the state. We've even got some parents in Minnesota that have joined our group that are looking for some support. So what we would really like is to form committees in each of our districts with some strong parents that are willing to lead and be voices for their district, that are going to show up at the school board meetings and keep an eye on what's going on, that don't have a problem contacting their superintendents and kind of really getting involved. And that's what this event is gonna kind of start moving towards, is we're looking to get each district organized a little bit better so that we can support each other, you know, more fully.
I don't know if this has anything to do with what we're talking about, but Mary also wants to know is what did the school board members in Fargo do that they are being recalled? Do you know anything what's going on there?
Oh, man, that is a great question.
Where do you start?
Yes, where do you start? Well, the recall board, I'm not on the recall sponsor committee. I don't live in Fargo, so I can't formally be a part of that. I support them 1,000,000%. My biggest reason, I have a niece in Fargo Public Schools, and lots of, you know, children that I'm very close to with my friends and stuff. So my biggest reason is always the medical freedom reason. Mm-hmm. You know, it cannot be said more or enough that if you're using a mask as a medical device, it is a medical choice, and we didn't elect the school board to make medical decisions on behalf of parents.
Right.
We're the medical decision makers. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have Tracy Newman, the pediatrician on the Fargo Public School Board, I'm not going to have her take my kid into his doctor appointment. She's not my kid's pediatrician. Right. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't get to make the policy, you know, her medical policy, whatever she decides, that can't be pushed in the school system. Now that's one big reason. But one of the recall boards I can't remember what they call themselves. Fargo School Board Recall Group. It's okay. Kind of a long, you know, long name. But one of their main points is that they have had a lack of communication from a lot of these members. Emails have went un a lot of times emails have went un checked even. We've got one of the members who can put one of those little read things on the email, and she can see they're not even opening her emails. You know, so that's huge. I mean, when you have, when you put these people into positions and they won't answer the phone and they won't respond to an email, we've got a huge problem. So those are kind of the,
we have the biggest. We had the same issue last year when the COVID first started, last spring. We had the same issue here with some of our county commissioners.
Yep.
People calling, leaving voicemails, calling and calling and calling, wanting answers, wanting to talk to somebody. And we got a great call from a guy who said he left numerous messages, finally got a hold of the one county commissioner, and they hung up on him. Called back again, and they hung up on him again. These are elected officials.
That's how they treat their constituents.
Yeah, these are elected officials, but they won't talk to the people that they think elected them. Yep. I mean, somebody did, but that's what you're there for.
Let's look at Jim Johnson. Let's call people out by name, because I feel like when you're elected, that's
absolutely
perfectly
right.
Okay to do.
That's right.
So Jim Johnson specifically, one of the first school board meetings we went to, we had a very courageous, strong, very informed mother stand up. And she talked about her son who has a mask exemption. Mm-hmm. There are not a lot of kids that have been able to get mask exemptions, especially in the Fargo public school system. So her son has a valid mask exemption, and he is the only one at his school that is not wearing a mask. And she stood up and she talked about how he has been ostracized all year, not only by the kids around him because of what's being pushed into their heads, but also by the teachers. He has also been ostracized by the teachers. He had one teacher, when he showed up with no mask, stand up in front of the classroom and say, give a whole little speech about how we wear our masks to keep others safe and we're doing it to protect everyone else and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Billy can't wear one, so we're all just going to have to stay 6 feet away from Billy. Disgusting.
I'm guessing these teachers were ones that got picked on their entire life growing
up. Must have been.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so
probably they were the ones that picked on other kids their entire life
because
they're still doing it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, how do you call out a kid like that?
It's unbelievable.
Oh, just disgusting. He had teachers that wouldn't even come close enough to see his paper to help him with his homework. I mean, just absolutely insane. And they're masked. They were wearing masks.
And how old was the kid?
I want to say he's 15.
Okay.
Yep, so he's,
so when you're really, your emotions are on high alert.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Right.
So now let's get back to the school board then. So she says this in front of the school board. She says, I want something done about this. I'm holding you people accountable because you're the ones that are making these decisions.
They should be held accountable.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So Jim Johnson at the next meeting,
who's a school board member?
He's a school board member. At the next meeting, he says, do we even have any kids with mask exemptions? Her story, I'm not kidding you. We were standing there behind her. I was crying. I could not believe what her son has gone through. I couldn't believe it. And then he goes ahead and says, I mean, do we even have kids with mask exemptions around here? Are you even paying attention in the meeting that we're paying you to sit at?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, Jim Johnson, 701-213-0863 is our phone number. If you care to try to explain your lack of knowledge about something you were elected to be,
please call.
Please call
now.
I have other questions for you as well regarding Jennifer Benson and your harassment of your fellow board member.
And if you call,
we could talk about that too.
Yeah, and if you call, I'll even put the headphones on. I'll put the headphones on so I can hear you.
You know, when I had told you about, you know, getting that GoFundMe to just kind of get like our own private school system, you know, you said that there would be all these things that would make it so you can't. Well, I mean, couldn't we just not call it a school and just say every day it's a celebration and we just have all these people attending?
I think I've got an answer for that. I want to hear what Cassie.
An education protest?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to hear Cassie's response to this because I homeschooled. My wife primarily homeschooled our three boys either from first grade or from kindergarten, depending. One of them went to another private school for.
We're not abusing any children.
No. If you can hear that, I don't think they can hear it. But yeah, we're hearing lots of child screaming outside the doors of the studio. But we homes,
don't have masks
we homes, and I don't think any of them are my children. No, they're all grown. No, my youngest is now 20. But we homeschooled all of them, and I would say this: if here's the thing about homeschooling, there's a lot of misinformation about homeschooling. Mm-hmm. Most people who send their kids to private or to public school think, "Oh yeah, homeschool. Oh, I could never do that. Oh, I could never do that." Because they have this idea, we've mystified the concept of education in America. And parents think that it's some kind of magical trick and they don't have the skills or the proper wand or whatever to do that magic on their kids. The fact of the matter is most of what's happening in public schools today is not education. There's an enormous amount of ideological subversion where the kids are not being taught. I mean, showing that if you have a tantrum, we're going to clear the room for you and let you just break things. The parent that loves, and I truly believe this, the parent that really loves their child, who's willing to stay home and educate their child on their worst day, could not do a worse job than what's happening in the public schools right now. I truly believe that. And that's not to say anything against public school teachers, but what's the average size classroom for a public school? 20, 24? 24? Thank you. See, that's Katie.
Thank you, Katie.
Katie knew the answer. 24. What's one of the biggest factors in determining how good someone's an individual's education is? It's the student-teacher ratio, right? Mm-hmm. The fewer the students, the more individual attention that teacher can give to that student. What's the average family size in America today?
Let's just go with
four. I think it's 2.7 or something like that. It's very
low.
You're
being generous.
Well, I'm talking parents and kids.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. So, yeah, probably about 4. 2.4, 2.7 kids. So that means if you've got two children, if you've got three children, mm-hmm. let's say 2.4 children. Because he's at 25.
One got vaccinated, so it's only a 4. Oh, okay, bad joke.
If you have 2.4 children and you're homeschooling all of them at the same time, you're going to be able to give each student 10 times more individual attention than the best public school teacher will be able to in a public classroom.
But I can play devil's advocate to
go
this,
ahead,
though.
Go ahead, do
so,
it.
I mean, the majority of parents out there, I don't think that they could do homeschooling because they have to go to work, you know, because they still have mortgages to pay, bills to pay, and everything like that. But one of the reasons that I think that it's important for my kids to, I'll just say the public school system, it doesn't necessarily have to be that, but, you know, that classroom of 24, I think that them being around all those other kids is good for socialization. Not anymore because they're telling them to wear masks and turn their heads and sit 6 feet apart, but...
So that's one of the most classic arguments against homeschooling. How are they going to get their socialization? Well, guess what? Kids are not supposed to be socializing in class. They're supposed to be learning in class. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Yes? So where does the socialization take place in a public school? It takes place over lunch. And it takes place over recess. And it takes place during sports.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're...
Also, okay... I need to address this because I've been speaking with so many homeschool parents that when you had mentioned before, you know, and you too, Paul, you know, parents can't just stay home and you guys, it's not an 8-hour day when you're at home. When you're at home with your kid and you're homeschooling, first of all, the state requires 4 hours a day homeschooling.
In North Dakota.
Think about that now. Why would the state require 4 hours of homeschooling, but you have to send your kid to school for 8?
Yeah.
In a public school.
Yeah. In a public school. Because great you question. Get more done at home.
That's right.
Individualized education with each kid.
Big
you get
time.
More done. So 4 hours. Do you have 4 hours after work with your kids? Or do you have four, you know, are you able
An hour
to
before,
kind of...
3 hours after?
Yep. Are you able to, you know... It takes flexibility, definitely, but there are so many other ways that it can be done. It doesn't have to be a one size fits all like you're doing a public school at your house.
Exactly. In fact, Cassie, that is one of the beauties of homeschooling. And so let's just because I wasn't planning on talking about that today, but let's go into that a little bit.
But then do you have to hire a babysitter when you go to work?
Well,
it depends on how old your children are.
But that's my point, though, because then now you have to pay a babysitter. Mm-hmm. Well, if you can't afford that.
So let's just talk about that.
So there definitely is an economic, you know.
So if you're going to, so if you can't afford a babysitter, then maybe you need to get together with some other homeschool parents and work something out. One of the beauties of homeschooling North Dakota, which
I'm starting this GoFundMe,
which used to be right, which
you can do it without help you, me keep my kids
you,
at home.
You can do it without GoFundMe. This used to be against the law. Did anybody know this? It used to be against the law to homeschool your kids in North Dakota.
I did not know that. I know that it's against the law to hire. Did you know that it's against the law in North Dakota? We've had a lot of parents that have said, why don't we just get together and we'll get maybe 10 of us together and we'll hire a teacher. And that teacher will just have a classroom of just 10 kids. Mm-hmm. And why don't we just hire a teacher and do it that way? Because in North Dakota, it's illegal.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
However, John has to go to school, so Katie's filling in for him.
However, John, you look shorter than you did before. What happened? And your hair grew.
Oh, look at that. I know.
That's
can you
great.
Hear me?
That's cool. So, yeah.
So it was illegal in North Dakota?
It was illegal to homeschool. In fact, I actually met, because we used to go to the homeschool conventions, I met a couple of parents who were jailed for homeschooling their children in North Dakota. I'm so thankful for those folks.
When was that, David?
That was like in 1960s or 70s. It's been so many years now that I don't remember what the year was that they went to jail. It could have been 69, something like that, 68, 69. I'm so thankful for them, because these are people who, you want to talk about a change in our society and our thinking. These were people who felt so incredibly strongly about educating their children because they were Christians. And they wanted their children to have a Christian education, which they could not get in the public schools. 1961, prayer was taken out of public schools. 1962, the Ten Commandments were mandated to be taken out of the public schools. And they said, we're not going for that. We want to teach our children how to pray and how to revere God and to read the scriptures, learn the Bible and those kinds of things. Because that's training in morality and character that is critical for personal development, then they're not going to get that in 8 hours of public school. So they took them out. They were willing to go to jail to fight for their children, and they eventually won. And because they won, my wife and I and a bunch of other people were able to homeschool in North Dakota. So they might not be able to hire a teacher, get together and hire a teacher, but you know what you can do in North Dakota? And we've done this. You can organize a co-op.
Yep.
And the teachers don't get paid, so different parents, so say you've got one parent... Say you've got one parent who's really good at science and another parent that's really good at math and another parent that really likes history. And so once a week, or even you can do it twice a week, depending on the size of the group, and that parent will go and they'll have a classroom and they'll teach that subject. Okay? And our kids were enrolled in the co-op program here in Grand Forks. They're actually quite strict in terms of what they expect of the teachers and what they expect of the students. And then they get their education on that thing. Well, what about a diploma? Well, we gave all of our kids diplomas. You can buy diplomas, and we filled it out. We have a name for our school. It was Grand Forks Christian Missionary Academy. That was the name of our homeschool. And all of our kids have high school diplomas. Employers, companies around the country have seen that homeschooling is such a superior method of educating children that there are universities that now have special monetary incentives to actually give grants and scholarships to homeschool students. And there are companies that want to hire. My son was applying for a job at a large company, and they asked him where he went to school, and he said, well, I was homeschooled. He said, oh, you're homeschooled. Oh, so you know how to self-motivate. You know how to actually learn information on your own without somebody spoon-feeding it to you. And he said, oh, yeah, because that's part of homeschooling. And so the four-hour requirement is true, but it doesn't mean 4 hours of instruction from the parent. It means 4 hours of schooling. So if you spend an hour with your son or daughter before you go to work and then give them the assignment, then say, no, you've got to spend at least 2 hours on this while I'm gone. And then you come back and you spend another hour with them after dinner going through what they learned or what they have questions about, and they spent 2 hours while you were at work, that's 4 hours of homeschooling. It's literally that simple, and
yeah.
I think that it's time for parents to start recognizing that they have the option of protecting their kids from the vaccine, the mask mandates, the social distance. Boy, socialization. How about social alienation? That's what's been going on for the last year, And and parents, if they recognize that they can actually then teach their children their values and what's really important, that's I think, a tremendous benefit.
Yeah,
the public schools need to also get that message. Hey, folks, guess what? We're going to be pulling our kids because of this nonsense. We're fed up with it. We're tired of it. Get your act together or you're losing our kids.
Yeah, we have a lot of people commenting that homeschool their kids, and they say that they manage to do it even just fine. Now, Jared even said that. It's a one income family, and yeah, they're able to do it. So
absolutely,
so right. It can totally be done.
It's so much more flexible than people. And I my husband and I, when we first got together, that was one thing that we agreed on. We didn't want to homeschool our kids because they'd be a bunch of weirdos. So that's something that coming, you know, we've come full circle now and been like, okay, well, maybe it's not, you know, maybe you're not raising a bunch of shut-ins. Maybe
and I'm sorry, Cassie, I don't mean to interrupt, but as far as socialization is concerned, one of the things that's really tragic about the public school system is that how do you decide what grade is what, right? How do you decide who goes to what grade? It's based on age, right? It's age segregation. It's the only place in life, the only place in life that you're segregated based on your age. Well, until you get to, like, you're 85, 90 years old. Everywhere else in life, you're going to be working with people of all different age groups, right? So that's a very artificial environment for kids to grow up in. They can't relate to anybody except themselves. What does that breed? That breeds a thing of it's us against everybody else, our group, our age category. Against the teachers.
Yep, the older kids.
Against the older kids. Again, so we got to avoid the older kids because they'll pick on us. We got to pick on the younger kids because they're, of course, now it's all done with one of these things. These devices are so great for bullying. Boy, let me tell you. No, that's what's happening. When I was a kid, I got bullied for real, right? I mean, kids were threatening to beat me up after school. I wasn't a fighter. I didn't go for that. But I punched back if it got bad enough. The point is, in homeschool, you've got all the different ages learning and working together. So the older children are helping the younger children, and the younger children are learning to look up to the older children and have respect for them because they're helping out. Well, my kids won't help each other. Okay, well, that's another discussion that needs to be dealt with. But the truth of the matter is that they're finding now that kids that are homeschooled, I mean, by and large, for the huge majority of homeschool kids have greater social skills than public schooled kids.
You know, we got a comment in here too, and I was actually thinking about this yesterday, which was kind of, I don't know
who it was, but someone texted it on
they
the
said
show.
Start a pod school. Homeschoolers pay for their own curriculum and hire a teacher if they wish. Start a homeschool co-op. Parents need to say no to the public school control over their children. I was talking to my wife about that the other day. I was like, why couldn't we use the podcast studio to teach? And then I would start thinking, I was like, well, I mean, you got Sesame Street and stuff, so it's, I mean.
Sesame Street is a joke, by the way. Sesame Street teaches nothing.
How dare you mention Sesame Street, Paul?
Except that Sesame Street does teach. I think, didn't they, they're now pushing the gay rights agenda in Sesame Street. I don't know if you know about that.
I haven't seen Sesame Street but they're doing 20, that. 30 they years. Did it. I thought it was, like, canceled.
You know, I used to think that Sesame Street was so cool and Mr. Rogers was boring. Of course, I was past that age, except, well, I was actually the right age for Mr. Rogers, but I didn't watch him. I don't know why. They did a survey of kids that all they watched was Mr. Rogers for some period of time. Sesame Street, all they watched was Sesame Street for a period of time. And then they did like an IQ test afterwards. Guess what? The kids watching Sesame Street with Big Bird and all the fancy, colorful stuff learned nothing. They learned zero. They learned nothing from Sesame Street. The guys, the people that watch Mr. Rogers, they're like off the charts. They were smart because Mr. Rogers sat down and he looked into the camera and he talked to them. And he spoke gently and, you know, and explained things to them. He taught them things. Sesame Street is a joke. It's a joke if it comes to educating kids. I mean, yeah, it's entertainment, but it's not education.
Andy went on field trips. I remember the field trips.
Field trips are great.
Yeah, you would go and he would take you to where they build cars, mm-hmm. and you'd get to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It was cool stuff.
Reading Rainbow was always cool, too, because Reading Rainbow, they'd always go to some workplace. It was like, mm-hmm. take your kid to work day.
Yeah.
Like every episode.
Right.
Now
right.
you're going to get the song stuck in my head now, Reading Rainbow. Come
on, so there are lots.
With that.
Take a look. It's in a book.
That's great. great. So lots of ways of educating children. Our boys also, they did sports, they did soccer, they played baseball. They were in 4-H.
Which they can drop into the public school system for different stuff like exactly. that too. I didn't know that either before this last year. Is yep. that they can also you can, if you don't feel confident teaching your kid maybe math once they get to high school,
right.
you can just take them.
Let them take
math class.
Right.
Yep.
Correct.
Or they can take gym or they can take music.
Exactly. Yeah. My boys did that. They did that. They took, one of my boys took a history class. They took a science class where they, cause they could have a lab too, cause we didn't have a lab at home. And they were in band. So yeah, absolutely. You can take advantage. You can literally, it's like a cafeteria yep. where you can pick and choose what you want from the public schools, do the rest at home, and you get the best of both worlds.
Well, I hope we got a lot of people that listen to this show, so when go to the next school board meeting, tell them, we're pulling our kids out if you don't get it right.
And we went to a couple of people from MPHC. I spoke at the last school board meeting. Dr. Stanislavski spoke at the last school board meeting. Dr. Gene Gullick spoke. Aaron McSperrin spoke, and other parents who just showed up. Guess what? We were all on the same page. I'm seeing people there I don't even know. I'm thinking, wow, I wonder what she's going to say. It was beautiful. Everybody was saying the same thing. Take the masks off our kids, stop pushing these stupid vaccines, and let them become normal again, and don't even think about doing anything that closely approximates critical race theory, because we're done with that. That's nonsense. We're not teaching our children how to be communists and hate America. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. That's our taxpayer dollars, by the way, and you work for us.
Yep, absolutely. They need to remember that.
They need to remember that. So, Cassie, what's the best way for somebody who wants to join Let Parents Decide that?
Do you love Facebook? Because that's where we are. Yep, you can find us on Facebook. Let Parents Decide That on Facebook. It is a private Facebook group, so you do have to answer the membership questions. They're super hard and scary. We ask where you live and if you agree to our rules. So please answer those. Okay. But yeah, then you can have access to all of our information that we're sharing. We've got a ton of really useful information that you might not be finding, just out there with your news feed full of your liberal friends. So right.
one of the worst things to deal with in life is regret, and your kids are only young once.
You yes. have them for such a short period of time.
Very
and that's,
short.
You know, I was one of the moms that I was talking. I pretty much give my phone number out to any parent that needs any that wants to talk. I'm like, hey, yeah, let's talk. So I was talking to a mom yesterday, and that was one big thing that we were talking about, is that you have these kids for such a short period of time. I don't care what my friends think. I don't care what my employer thinks or what their teacher thinks or exactly. whatever else. I am charged to raise this child up how I think is right and how I believe they need to be raised up. And it's nobody else's business whether they think that that's the right way or not, because exactly. that's my decision.
Right.
No one else is looking out for your child like you are. Period.
Period.
So, and that's parents need to understand that, because when we're doing things to this has been such a huge campaign to make you feel bad about, well, what about everybody else? What about the people that yeah. that are sick, or what about people that are unhealthy, or, you know? And hey, I am not an uncaring individual. I'm a mom. I've got three small kids. I'm a caregiver to my grandma. She's 97. So wow. I've got people in all age groups yeah. that I have to be concerned about. And you know what? If we all are taking care of the people that are closest to us, if I'm focusing in on my children and my grandma and those that are close to me that I'm responsible for, and you're doing the same thing, David, and Paul, you're doing the same thing for your family, then aren't we all protected? And then yeah. isn't there just a small number maybe of people that need some help beyond that, that could raise their hand, and then we can offer that to them?
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
There we go.
That's it. That's literally, it's literally that simple. I mean, and it works like that. And yeah, and there are, you know, and every parent will regret something that they did.
Don't regret not sticking up for your kids.
Yeah, exactly. Don't regret that, because you will. Because when you see the aftermath of what happens because you didn't stand up for them, and it's the same thing, this whole COVID thing, guilt and fear are the two primary tools that they are using against us. And You know, if you don't know who they are, then keep listening to this podcast on Tuesdays. Because we're going to be exposing who they are. You know, here's the thing that's really bizarre to me. We shut down businesses for, and it solved nothing. We masked up an entire generation of children, and it solved nothing. We terrorized the elderly and shut them into their rooms and said nobody can talk to them, nobody can touch them, nobody can see them. We treated them like criminals, in solitary confinement, and it solved nothing. But what it did do was it caused thousands and thousands of deaths of despair. We told people that this pandemic is the worst thing ever, and that it's going to kill millions, and it didn't. We made up this PCR, polymerase chain reaction machine, that was invented by a brilliant guy who just happened to have died at the end of 2019, Kerry Mullis.
Coincidentally.
Yeah. And then they took his machine, which he himself said cannot be used to determine whether or not somebody's sick from a virus. It's not a diagnostic tool. That they use it for a diagnostic tool in order to make fake cases, false numbers, and then use that to terrify people. And we've got people like Klaus Schwab saying that, yeah, there's going to be the great reset, where we're going to use COVID as a means of changing the way that the world works economically. We're going to change the whole structure of society. And people like me are called a conspiracy theorist because I point out these facts. This is craziness. Folks, if you don't realize that there is a true conspiracy that's going on and you're the victim, then you will be the victim. And our country, as we know it, will end. And Katie's beloved generation will die. You know, they'll literally, I don't mean emotionally die. No, I mean really die. Bill Gates said it publicly. He said, we're overpopulating the planet.
If we do our job with vaccines, we can effectively reduce the population by how much?
10% to 15%.
Yep.
10 to 15%. 10 to 15%,
folks. He's on the internet saying that.
Let me do the math for you. 10 to 15% of 7.5 billion people is 750 million to 1 billion people. That's simple math. In other words, through vaccinations and medications, we can eliminate 750 million to 1 billion people. Now, somebody explain to me how medications and vaccinations, which are supposed to save lives or prolong life, reduces the population by 750 million to 1 billion.
You know,
how does that work?
Well, it starts with censorship.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, no,
I didn't even mention censorship. Yeah, I think that's a whole other topic.
It starts when you start labeling the truth as fiction, and when you start silencing people that are trying to bring information to light.
And if you don't think that, you know, like this conspiracy theory and these people aren't corrupt.
But it's not a theory.
I'm not advocating for, like, marijuana or anything, but it took, what, 50, 60 years for them to legalize marijuana, which has been proven to have a lot of, like, medical benefits.
Right.
But within the last year, they have vaccination clinics on every corner. I mean,
you're talking about going door to, let's think about this. We have someone in the White House talking about going door to door to give you information about vaccines and to do all this stuff. They never did that for child trafficking or for pedophiles. I mean, we've got, Look at Facebook censoring information, but they were just found criminally liable for sex trafficking on their website. They couldn't censor the messages from people that were trying to lure
Unbelievable.
Kids. But yeah. They can censor your message when you're talking about a COVID-19 vaccination
right.
that has killed maybe upwards of 45,000 people now.
Yeah, who was it that did that?
Thomas Renz.
Yeah, and he's...
And also going door to door for experimental medical procedure. I think that's
they're trying to put us on a list.
The number,
I think, is what's going on.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the number of deaths that come from heart disease, cancer, stroke, most of those deaths are preventable. Diet and exercise are magic compared to the pharmaceutical industry's solutions to those problems. They're magic. Diet, exercise, and sleep, because Americans don't consider sleep as really anything, but it's critical. Those things, and we could drop the deaths by the millions in America.
They closed gyms, and obesity is the number one The number one pre-existing condition that attributed to death.
In COVID patients.
We don't want in COVID patients, right. But we don't want you to go and keep yourself healthy.
Right. So anybody that thinks that all these things are just coincidences, I'm sorry, you're very naive if that's what you believe. Yep. You're incredibly naive. And it's time for you to wake up and smell the coffee. I don't drink coffee. I had to get some great tea, though. But it's time for us to see what's happening and to be willing to take some risks and push back and say, I'm not going to stand for this. So that means you've got to get involved. You've got to join groups like Cassie's. Let parents decide that on Facebook. Join groups like Midwest Public Health Coalition and say, what can I do? You know, you can reach us. What's that? So on Facebook, you just
let parents decide that. Yep, that is the best way to find us right now. You can also email. If you don't have a Facebook, you can email letparentsdecidethat@gmail.com. We'll find the best way to keep in contact with you. We've got a Telegram channel, I guess, that I kind of forget about. Let Parents Decide That on Telegram. You can find us there as well.
Perfect. And the event in the Let Parents Decide That in the park?
Our picnic at Armour Park in West Fargo is Thursday, July 29th from 5 to 8. We've got food there. Bring your kids. It is sure to be very informative.
And is it going to be, is the food?
Free. I mean,
it's free food. Did you hear that?
Yes. If there's anything that I am good at, it's
free. Free with a vaccine shot.
Yes. You don't have to show proof.
Will there be a vaccine clinic there at the same time? Will there be a pop-up there at the, sorry.
Giving out coupons.
I have no nice way to respond to that.
Free coupons with every vac.
Yes. So, and that's from 5 to 8 p.m.
5 to 8 p.m.
at Armour.
Armour Park in West Fargo. And you can Google it.
There's a shelter that looks kind of like a barn.
Yep. It's a big red barn.
Yeah. And yep.
For all us hillbillies that have remained unjabbed.
That's right. And let me just ask, and I should have asked this. I should have. Yes. So you can be around people that are not shedding the spike protein or anything else from the vaccine by showing up.
Come and find community. That's what we're here for. We're here to encourage and to support parents and to come together, because at the end of the day, I want my kids hanging out with other kids who have strong upbringings. And yeah. That's what you're going to find with our group.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's great. And Cassie has graciously invited Midwest Public Health Coalition to join them. So we will be there, and we'll have a couple of expert speakers as well. And if you're interested in joining Midwest Public Health Coalition, please do that. Our website is realcovidfacts.org, realcovidfacts.org. Our website, by the way, is about to get a facelift, and it's going to be really great. And I don't know, Cassie, if you're taking donations, but we have, because we print things like this.
Thank you for mentioning that. We are accepting donations.
Don't forget that, your pamphlet.
And a bunch of other things. So they're accepting donations, and I'm sure that you can do that at the event in Fargo. You can go on realcovidfacts.org and donate there. We tremendously appreciate every contribution. It's easy to do. You can contribute right online. Just click the button, $5, $15, $25, $50. And that will help us to continue to do the work that we're doing of educating not just parents, but all citizens across the state of North Dakota, Minnesota, about what's really happening to our health, to our families, our children, and our government. So,
all right,
that's important stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you again, John, for
John, yeah.
Turning into, you're not John, but do you identify as?
No, I don't think.
No. Thanks, Katie, for taking over because John had to leave.
All right.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, David Waterman and Cassie Schmidt, for coming in. Today's show is brought to you by the Bun Lounge. The Bun Lounge, their annual Pre-Sturgis Party 2021 is July 30th and the 31st. Free live music, food by L&M Meats, burnout stage, and more. Don't miss out on the best party in town. Go to the Bun Lounge's third annual Pre-Sturgis Party, July 30th. I haven't done this ad thing for a long time. Saturday, fine. July 31st, the Bun Lounge, home of the world-famous Shrimp Caesar. Open daily until 2 a.m., located at 1708 Mill Road in Grand Forks. You can call them at 701-772-4366. And the band on Friday is Sweet Freedom, and Saturday, Back for More. All right, later on today, check out GFBS Crypto Podcast Show at 3 o'clock. And tomorrow, UND hockey player, former hockey player, Jeff Panzer will be on at 11. Make sure to check it out. Don't forget to like, share, tag, and follow us. Turn your post notifications on so you know every time we're live. Grand Forks is great, as John always says, and Grand Forks Best Source is giving it an identity again.